Will you please turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. Revelation, chapter 2, verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Chapter 3, verse 21. He that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. And the same book, chapter 12, verse 11. And they have overcome him, that is, overcome the accuser, by reason of the blood of the Lamb, and by reason of the word of their testimony, and have not loved their life, their soul life, even unto death. Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, as we gathered here this morning, we pray that the Spirit of victory, the Spirit of overcoming, thy Spirit will descend upon each and every one of us. Deliver us from our complacency. Deliver us from our passivity. And bring us into the full provision that thou hast given to us, that we may be overcomers. To glorify your name. Lord, do speak to our hearts. Produce fruit for thyself, especially in these last moments, Lord. Pray that we may enter into the fullness of the salvation which thou hast provided for us. Deliver us from ourselves, and bring us into thyself. O Lord, may spiritual reality be our testimony. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. We are still on this matter of spiritual exercise. Spiritual exercise has much to do with overcoming. And by overcoming, we will receive life in the age to come. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that the word overcomer is so familiar to many of us. But the point is, it is not a matter of whether we are familiar with theological terms, but whether we are in the reality of what overcoming means. Overcomer is the strategy of God. It is his strategy in the recovery of the testimony of Jesus in the church. So it is not something minor. It is something of tremendous importance, especially to us who are living in this last day. So, brothers and sisters, I hope this matter of overcomers is not something that we can neglect. It is life and death to us. It is not only to us, it is so important to the work of God that He is calling for us to be overcomers. And if we do not overcome, the damage is not only to us, but the damage will also bring to the Lord's timing. So, dear brothers and sisters, I'm deeply burdened with this matter of overcoming. You know, God, He entrusted His own name, His own testimony to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was supposed to bear the testimony of God in this ungodly world. They were to testify to the world that there is a living God. But unfortunately, they failed. And while they were failing, the Lord raised up a remnant. When the children of Israel were taken into Babylonian captivity, after 70 years, God raised up a remnant of the children of Israel. Most children of Israel were in captivity, and they were contented with their captivity because they were given a certain amount of freedom. They could build their houses, they could do their businesses, and they were prospering financially. But where it was the name of Jesus? During those days of captivity, the Bible never mentioned God as the God of the heavens and of the earth. During that period, God was only addressed as the God of the heavens. In other words, He had no testimony upon the earth. But thank God, man may fail, but He never fails. So He, by His Spirit, raised up a remnant among the children of Israel. They were stirred by the Spirit of God. They were not contented to live just for themselves. They wanted to live for God, for His testimony. So a remnant among the children of Israel answered the call of God and returned to Jerusalem, a ruined place, and there to build a temple that the name of Jehovah might be recognized on earth. That's the remnant principle in the Old Testament. Now in the New Testament, we find that our Lord Jesus, He gave His testimony to the church. what is the church for? The church is for the testimony of Jesus. The church, those who are saved, are to declare the excellencies of the one who has saved them. The name of the Lord Jesus is intertwined with us, his church. That is the reason why the church exists on earth. The church is not to speak of itself. The church is to declare the name of the Lord Jesus. We find when the church began on earth, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon the 120 believers who were gathered together in that upper room, praying with one accord. And these 120 individual believers, they were in the Spirit, baptized into one body. They were no longer 120 individuals. They were 120 members of the body of Christ. That's the beginning of the church. And with 120, as the body of Christ, on the very same day, 3,000 were added. And the Bible tells us, if we read the book of Acts, daily the Lord added to the church, to the body of Christ. And those who believe in the Lord, they persevered, they continued in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. In breaking of bread, and in prayers, they have such a testimony among the world. They show the world who Jesus was. The name of Christian was given to them. It was a nickname because the world looked at these people that gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus, praising the Lord, praying to the Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus, living for the Lord Jesus. They have a way of life totally different from any way of life in the world. It is neither the Jewish way, nor the Roman way, nor the Greek way. But those who believe in the Lord out of the Jews, out of the nations, they have a way of life totally different from the way that people live on earth. It is a heavenly manner of life. So when people look at them, they did not know what to say about them. Who were they? And people jokingly say they were Christians. They were Christ, men and women. What a testimony we find. And even within 30 years, the gospel was preached not only in Judea, in Samaria, and it preached to the end of the world. At that time, it was Rome. A conquering church, a victorious church, a church that faithfully bore the testimony of Jesus. A church that did not live for itself, made itself known, but a church that made Jesus Christ known to the world. But unfortunately, after another 30-some years, when you come to the end of the first century, then you find when you read the book of Revelation, in chapter 1 to 3, you find John, the apostle, for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. He was faithful. But on that Lord's day, he was in the spirit and he saw a vision. It was the vision of the risen Lord ministering to his churches. But when you read the condition of the churches at that time, the seven churches in Asia, you find that aside from the church in Philadelphia, who had the praise of the risen Lord, the church in Smyrna didn't have any praise, but also no fault about them. They were encouraged to be faithful to the end. But the other five, you find their spiritual conditions were such that the Lord had to call them to repent. The church, as it were, has lost the testimony of Jesus. If the church has lost the testimony of Jesus, it has lost the meaning of its existence. So you find even with the church in Ephesus, the Lord said, if you do not repent, I will remove the candlestick. In other words, physically they may remain, but spiritually, their testimony before God was gone. No existence. No recognition. And when the church has failed in its mission, has failed in its testimony, what happened? Man may fail, but God never failed. So that's why the principle of overcomers came in. You find when our Lord Jesus looked at the situation of the church, then he called. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He that overcomes. In other words, as a reaction from the risen Lord, he calls out of the church overcomers. Now, who are the overcomers? What do they overcome? And brothers and sisters, we are living at the very end of this age of grace. The end is coming. And while we are living in this critical time, we need to know our real condition before God. do we, as a people of God, faithfully bear the testimony of Jesus to the world? All have we fallen from that testimony. The call to overcome is the last call from God to His church. If we miss this last call, we miss our calling. And the last call to the church is to overcome. The Lord knows in what condition, situation, environment, world we are living in. He fully understands, but He knows that we are called to overcome. We are called to bear the testimony of Jesus to the world in this last day. What do we need to overcome? What makes us overcomers? Now, when you look at the outward situation, we will say, we as the Redeemer of the Lord, we have to overcome the power of sin. Why? Because our Lord Jesus, He has borne our sins in His body on the cross. He has forgiven our sins. He has redeemed us. And we are supposed to live a holy life, a life of righteousness, a life that will glorify God. So first of all, we need to overcome the power of sin. We will not allow the sin to overcome us. What we should not do, we should be able not to do. What we should do before God, we should have the power to do it. But brothers and sisters, when we look back to our experience after we are saved, what happened to this matter of sin? Is the matter of sin already solved in our Christian life? Or is it something still bothering us? Just like you find in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 7, you find the Apostle Paul. After he was saved, he knew what was right, what was the will of God, and he wanted to do the will of God. But he found in his dismay that what he should do, he couldn't. What he should not do, he does it. And he even said, well, it shows that it is not I who do it, it is the sin in us, in me, who has done it. How he cry out and say, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? Brothers and sisters, do we have these experiences? Are we still under such experience? It seems as if in our life, most of the time we are defeated. Maybe once in a long while we have some victory. Now that is not what the Lord has ordained for us. How can we overcome the power of sin? If we only know that when Christ died on the cross, he has not only borne our sins in his body, but he has borne us in him and with him to the cross. In other words, the old man was crucified with Christ. Have we experienced this cool crucifixion and cool burial and cool resurrection with our Lord Jesus? We can only find victory in Christ, not in us. No matter how we struggle against sin, we will be defeated. But thank God, he has overcome. So you'll find in Romans 7, it says, thank God through Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can experience overcoming the power of sin. Now, what are we going to overcome? We need to overcome the world. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. Now, isn't it our experience, daily experience? Or do we find that the world still attracts us? Not only attract us, but even has its ascendancy over us. We cannot help but love the world. You know, I remember when I was in Albuquerque at one time, a few of us were sitting in the room and talking, and in the midst of the room there was a table, and on the table there was a dish full of candies. And suddenly, a boy came in. And he began to circle around the room. And the circle got tighter and tighter until it reached the table. And then he took a candy, put it in his mouth. And then he circled out. After a while, he came back again. And he did the same thing. And after several times, every eyes were upon him. And he was conscious. So when he took the candy, he said, I know I shouldn't do it, but I just love it. Is this what we are doing today? We know we should not love the world. We should not be friends with the world. Because to be friend with the world is to be enemy of God. But we can't help it. We cannot. But who can? If we only know in Christ Jesus, the word is crucified to me, and I'm crucified to the world. What must we overcome? We must overcome our flesh. Even though we are saved, but we find that our flesh is still here. We are still carnal. And we find the works of the flesh in our life. How can we overcome our flesh? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We cannot. But if we only look to the Lord Jesus, we find that I'm crucified with Christ. No longer live I, it is Christ who lives in me. And now I live in the flesh. I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What must we overcome? We must overcome this self-life. The life that controls our soul, that expresses itself through our thinking, through our emotion, feeling, and through our will, our opinion. Whatever comes out of us is not Christ, but it is ourselves. This is what I feel. This is what I think. This is what I like. Instead of, it is the love of Christ. It is the feeling of Christ. It is the thought of Christ, the mind of Christ. It is the will of Christ. Now, how can we be delivered from ourselves? We cannot. But he can. Brothers and sisters, have we experienced overcoming life? Now, of course, we know that at the back of all these things that we have mentioned, there is Satan, the enemy. He was the one who brought sin into this world. He is the one who is the usurper of this world. He is the one who is in control of our flesh. He is the one who is in the back of everything. How can we overcome Satan? He is an archangel. He is of a higher rank than man. His intelligence is beyond ours. His experience is longer than ours. If we try to fight against Satan, unfortunately, many people try to do that. You cannot do it. You will be overcome. Now, how can we be overcomers? Now, these, in a sense, are just negatives. But we know in the scripture there is a positive reason to overcome. And that positive reason is that we may keep, have, maintain the testimony of Jesus. That's why we must overcome. Brothers and sisters, if we read human history right, we find failure and after failure, so far as God's purpose, God's testimony is concerned. That's the reason why we find Satan is still considered as the God, the prince of this world. He is still in charge, as it were. But in human history, we do find an exception. And the exception is our Lord Jesus. As God, he is higher than the angels. But he became a man. Now that is God's wisdom. You know, it is nothing to God to destroy Satan. We often think if God would destroy Satan, then everything would be solved. How good he would be. Why is it that God didn't do that? Because for God to destroy Satan does not give him glory. Just like a strong man beating a little child is no glory to that man. So, you know, in the wisdom of God, he wants some lower than the angels to destroy the work of the archangel. And who is the lower than the angels? Man. Man is created lower than the angels. And yet, God wants to use man to destroy the works of the enemy and to bring glory to himself. So that's why we are on this earth. We are not here just for ourselves. We are here to defeat God's enemy. We are here to glorify God by faithfully bearing his testimony. That's why we are here. But unfortunately, starting from our forefather Adam, you find failure after failure after failure. So finally, God sent his own Son into this world. The Word became flesh and tabernacle among men, full of grace and truth. Our Lord Jesus was the second man. In the sight of God, there are only two men. First man, Adam, failed. Second man, Christ, succeeded. He came on earth as a man according to God's mind. You find in his whole life, when he was 12, he was made a son of the law. Immediately you find he said, "Must I not be mindful of my father's business?" Throughout his life, he lived as a perfect man. He did not live for himself. He lived for the will of God. You know what temptation was? When Satan tried to tempt him, the temptation was, if you are the Son of God, you can do this, you can do that. Sure enough, if he is the Son of God, he can do all these things. He can turn the stone into bread. That's true. But our Lord Jesus always stood on the ground of the Son of Man. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He refused to exercise his right as the Son of God. He maintained his place on earth as the Son of Man. And as the Son of Man, he was tempted in all things. He was tempted by sin. He was tempted by the world. He was tempted by self. He was tempted by everything. But he denied himself. He take up the cross and follow God. He gave himself to God, obedient to God, even unto death, and that the death of the cross. He overcame the enemy. When you read John chapter 12, you find that even the Greeks wanted to see Jesus. Humanly speaking, it was the most glorious time of our Lord Jesus on earth. The whole nation seemed to go after him. Even the Greeks, foreigners, wanted to see him. That was his time of glory. But no, our Lord said, yeah, the time of our glory has come. But his glory is different. He said, Father, I have glorified thee. And he speaks of his death. In other words, his whole life was governed by his Father's glory, by the testimony of God, not of himself. So he said, this is the time that the God of this world will be cast out. He has overcome. So brothers and sisters, who is the overcomer? Christ Jesus. He is the overcomer. We cannot overcome, but he has overcome. And it is on the basis of his overcoming that he said, I will build my church upon this rock. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Brothers and sisters, the church is built on the victory of Christ, the overcoming of Christ. Because he has overcome, therefore we too shall overcome. But how? The way we enter into this overcoming life is a way of faith. Now, what is faith? Faith is not something we develop in ourselves. Oftentimes you find we try to hypnotize ourselves. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. If we continue to repeat, I believe, it is as if I do believe. But it doesn't work. That's not faith. Faith is not looking into yourself. It's not there. Faith is not looking at your environment. It's not there. Faith is looking away from all these and looking unto Jesus. That's faith. He is the author and finisher of faith. So, brothers and sisters, we find in 1 John chapter 5, it is said in verses 4, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for all that has been begotten of God gets the victory over the world. And this is the victory that has gotten the victory over the world, our faith. Who is he that gets the victory over the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, brothers and sisters, our victory is based upon our faith. It's not based upon our own struggling. It is based upon our believing in our Lord Jesus. We take him at his word. We take him at his finished work. And that is faith. I cannot help but tell that story that I love so much. Once a little girl believed in the Lord Jesus, and she was happy in the Lord. So a man came to tempt him, to test him, her. As a little girl, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? She said, I do. Are you happy in the Lord? She said, I do. Then the man said, suppose Satan came to you. He knocked at your door. He wanted to come in. What can you do? You are just a little girl. Your strength is so small. And Satan is a mighty warrior. He just pushed the door and he will come in. And you are finished. That little girl thought for a while. And she answered, if Satan came to knock at my door, I turned to the Lord and said, Lord, will you please open the door? And our Lord Jesus will go to the door to open it. And when Satan saw the Lord, he said, excuse me, I knocked the wrong door. And he fled. Now, that's the secret of victory. You cannot overcome the enemy. Oh, how we try. How we try to put our whole strength upon the door. And said, you cannot come in. I don't want you. Who? Oh, he just pushed and in. You're finished. But brothers and sisters, where's the Lord? Are you in fellowship with the Lord? Are you exercising your spirit? Do you forget the Lord in your life? Do you turn to the Lord and say, Lord, please open the door? This is spiritual exercise. You know, the provision is there. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us, He will remind us of what is not from the Lord. He will warn us to keep away from it. He will show us where is the conflict. But when He is doing that, we need to respond. And the response is spiritual exercise. If you do not exercise your spirit, then the voice of the Holy Spirit is just a passing voice, coming in one ear and going out from the other ear. Only if you really exercise your spirit, that is, you exercise your conscience. Let the Spirit of God speak to your conscience. Do not rebel against your conscience. Try to submit to the voice of the conscience. By what power? By looking into Jesus. Jesus is in you. The Holy Spirit is to bring the power of the victorious power of the Lord Jesus into your life. And when you are struggling, He said, don't struggle. Believe in me. Trust me. Give yourself to me. Let go of yourself and let me take over. Brothers and sisters, that needs spiritual exercise. We are exercising our mind all the time, thinking, trying to figure out how to do, what to do. Brothers and sisters, do we exercise our spirit? Draw near to the Lord. Tell the Lord of the situation. Tell Him you cannot. But He can. And trust Him. Look to Him. and you'll find he's more than sufficient. We can enjoy more than conqueror over all things around us. This is the secret of victory. And by doing that, we will not only overcome the forces around us and within us, we can even accomplish the purpose of God in keeping, having the testimony of Jesus. Why is it that the Lord calls for overcomers? What will be the consequence of overcoming? In this age, if we overcome, we will enjoy the Lord. We will enjoy his life, even in this age. And furthermore, if we overcome and keep the testimony of Jesus, what will happen to the age to come? Now that is what you find in the book of Revelation chapters 2 and 3. You find that he that overcomes, there will be a result. And all the results that you find in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 actually are the result of the promise of life in the age to come. Not only overcoming will give you such a victorious life on earth, make you able to have the testimony of Jesus, but by overcoming, you will find that in the age to come, you will enjoy life. Because all the promises for those who overcome, strictly speaking, are all to be experienced in the age to come. For instance, in chapter 2, verse 7, he said, "He that overcomes, to him that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, even though if we overcome, we enjoy life in this age too, but the promise is to eat the tree of life in the paradise of God. That refers to the kingdom age. In the kingdom age, you will enjoy life, eternal life, the life of Christ in the kingdom age. It is just like you find the five wise virgins, how they enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. That's enjoying life. And then you find to the church in Smyrna, "He that overcomes shall in no wise be injured of the second death." Now, this is a problem to many Christians, because it is said, "He that overcomes, he shall in no wise be injured of the second death." Now, what is second death? Second death is the lake of fire. That's second death. The first death is a physical death, but the second death is the eternal death, the lake of fire. So can it be that a Christian, a believer, will lose his salvation and go into hell? No. He said, will not be injured by the second death. Now, what does he mean? I think the best illustration you can find is in Daniel. You find the three friends of Daniel, how they refused to worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar erected, and they were to be thrown into fire. And Nebuchadnezzar was so indignant that the fire was increased sevenfold, so hot that the soldiers, he got these strongest soldiers to take these three helpless men, to bring them to that fireplace, to throw them in. And the fire was so severe that even the soldiers were burned to death. They were not thrown into the fire, but the fire came out and they were burned to death. Now, that is to be injured by second death. In other words, it is not second death, but it is injured by second death. But those who overcome, they will not be injured by second death. Remember what our Lord Jesus said to that wicked servant? That we will be cut into two, like the unbelievers, injured by second death, but eternally saved. So, brothers and sisters, here you'll find as you go on into all these promises, these are promises of life. For instance, verse 17, it said, to him that overcomes, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no man knows but he that receives it. We know hidden manna refers to life. When God sent manna to the children of Israel in the wilderness, there was some manna that was put in a pot and put in the tent, hidden manna. In other words, you enjoy life that was unknown to the people. White stone in the old age, when they have games and the victor will be given a white stone with a name inscribed on it. Reward in the kingdom of the heavens. And then again you turn to verse 26. And he that overcomes, he that keep unto the end my works, to him will I give authority over the nations, and shall shepherd them with an iron rod, as vessels of pottery are they broken in pieces. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give to him the morning star. Now, all these refer to the kingdom of the heavens. And you can go on and on and on, and when you come to Laodicea, you find that he that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Because our Lord Jesus has overcome, he is now seated with the Father in his throne. But one day he will be given the kingdom, and it will be his own throne. And the overcomers will sit with him in his throne. So, brothers and sisters, this is why spiritual exercise is so profitable. It is profitable not only for this life, but it is profitable for the life to come. And dear brothers and sisters, how can we be so foolish? For the sake of a little. Literal in time, literal in benefit. We miss that which is so great, so glorious, so marvelous. So may the Lord help us that it really be our heart desire. Make me an overcomer, a victor to the end, to the glory of God.